Welcome to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite Sports Byline. Yesterday it was Steve Young. Today it'll be Howie Long. About, in particular, the Saints matchup against Chicago in Chicago. Steve Young picked the Saints winning, although he said at home. I think he was a little distracted with his kids at that point. But here's an interesting insight from our interview from yesterday's show about the challenge of the quarterback when people are telling him time and time again he can't get it done.
I mean, it's almost like saying, you know, oh, it's no big deal. Well, it's a big deal. And it's in your head. It's sports. I mean, when I didn't beat the Cowboys for a couple years, it's in your head because that's all you hear. You're human, and to block it out makes you inhuman, which is not the case for anybody. So it's in there, and especially being the Patriots, he's going to ad nauseum. He's going to try to block it out and try to avoid hearing any radio or TV or newspaper. Just avoid it, you know, because it makes it so much better. And then go try to play football. But the second he makes a mistake on the weekend, Sunday, he'll start to think, geez, you know, do I press? Do I not press? Do I overthink it? Do I underthink it? And it becomes the nature of sports, which is it's very psychological. It's very in your head. And that's especially in football because you don't play every day. You play every 7 days. And so it's always, a problem until you overcome it, and then it's not a problem. So, you know, to me, it's not that much even a debate. It's like it's in his head, it has been for a while, and it's going to be there until it's done.
That's Steve Young from yesterday's show. Today we'll have Seth Joyner join us along with Howie Long to talk about the matchups, especially the Saints. We covered the Manning Bowl. We'll do a little bit more of that as well. We'll start in our first segment coming up with Jim Beattie on the interesting situation, if you've been following it, with Barry Bonds, with J.D. Drew, about contracts that have not been signed that they're negotiating because both of them have issues, one with amphetamines, a positive test last year apparently in Barry Bonds, the other with J.D. Drew with his shoulder. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some other things like Sammy Sosa. And then in our last segment, we're going to talk with our tennis correspondent, Crazy Luke Jensen, the best guy covering tennis today, the Australian Open, way down under on Head Games Radio on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Smart business people know the difference between success and failure lies in the ability to grow. Being limited by your current facility adds up to lost productivity and even worse, lost revenue. You've looked at the price to build, but have you considered the cost of not building? With interest rates still attractive, now is the time to build that warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space you need. A pre-engineered steel building from General Steel will save you up to half the cost of a similar conventionally built structure, and it'll be erected in about half the time. From airplane hangars to riding arenas, gymnasiums, and churches. Expand quickly and save money.
Call the General right now for your free estimate. 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298. And learn about our $20,000 rebate offer. 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
What would you do with the extra money if you didn't have a mortgage payment? Secure your retirement? Pay for college? Invest in real estate? Travel? Is your home paid for free and clear? Or do you have a 30, 40, or even 50-year mortgage? Or worse, are you making interest-only payments with no reduction on the debt? If so, you're on a treadmill going nowhere fast. At United First Financial, we have great news. Our average client will pay off their 30-year mortgage in as little as 8 to 11 years, potentially saving thousands in interest. You don't need to refinance your existing mortgage. You don't need to make more money, and there's no need to alter your current lifestyle. Our Money Merge account can help you own your home years sooner, wipe out your debts, and have real financial independence. Our program works with fixed rate, interest only, and even NEGAM loans. This is not a biweekly mortgage program or a debt roll-down plan. Again, no refinance of your mortgage is needed. To receive our free DVD, please call 800-300-1096. That's 800-300-1096.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. You get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information, so register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out HeadGamesRadio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
We know who's selling drugs in our community, but we never say anything to them. And if a white guy was to come into our community and sell drugs, we'd probably kill him.
Welcome back to Head Games Radio. We'll be getting to the NFL playoffs in our next segment. But before that, we love our Major League Hot Stove with Jim Beatty. Jim, how's your offseason going? Are you getting close to being an integral part of another organization?
Well, Nick, as you know, I've got some conversations going on, but on different levels. And so I think probably it's all on hold, but I'm exploring a few other things outside of baseball as well, just in case. And it's been interesting.
Well, we just want to keep people realizing what a great talent you are, and we appreciate you joining the show. Tell us, first of all, let's start with the Roger Clemens thing. It just seems like old home week. Every week there's an older player in his 40s who's a Cy Young Award winner, whether it's the big unit last week. This week the talk is about Roger Clemens. Tell us what the chances in your view are that he might indeed return to Boston.
Well, you know, I think it's just an indication, first off, with respect to these older guys still having a lot of value and interest from clubs. It just tells you how little pitching there is out there. And so getting to the Red Sox interest, I think they have a lot of interest. Their starting pitching needs more help. The Yankees, however, have a lot of interest as well. I think dollar-wise, it really doesn't depend a lot on that. I think everybody's going to be probably in the same situation with respect to what he did last year. His contract will be some prorated portion of a $20 to $25 million contract. I think Roger understands that he's not ready to pitch a full year, probably doesn't even want to pitch a full year. But they know that he can come out and he can help them win some ball games, especially down the stretch. Now the big question is, will they be in the hunt down the stretch? And that's what they've got to work on as well, just signing Roger Clemens.
Don't you think, though, that if you're the Red Sox, you're going to ask him to at least come through by late May, not mid-June? I mean, that is an awful long time. That's 10 weeks of not helping your team.
Well, they can ask whatever they want, but Roger's in a position, I think, where he can kind of set his own framework. So I don't know. You know, I've known Roger off and on over the years. He is certainly a guy that is of his own mind, and I know he probably perplexes his agents at some point where they don't know what his intentions are. But I think Pettit going back to New York matters probably more to him than maybe returning to a Red Sox uniform. I don't think his time in Boston was as enjoyable as his time in a Yankee uniform.
Well, let's move on to Bob Nightingale's article in USA Today, starting off saying they exchanged handshake agreements, settled on financial terms, and spread the word they had landed marquee free agents. But less than a month before spring training, both Barry Bonds and J.D. Drew remain free agents, neither having signed a contract. Tell us about that situation.
Well, for different reasons. In Bonds' case, the team, the Giants, knew him. They knew his medical history. So they were trying to do a couple things with their contract. One is to make sure that the entire amount isn't guaranteed if he has relapses of his medical problems. The other part of that, hanging out there like a black cloud over Barry and a few other players that we probably don't know about, is the idea of being tested positive, whether his name comes up in the Balco class / steroid investigation more, and there's some truth to it. That's yet to be seen, but they don't want to be stuck if he cannot play because of all of the outside things going on. Now, J.D. Drew is a little different because he had agreed to a contract, and I think primarily it was pretty much done. He then came in for a physical, and the physical did not please the Red Sox, gave them a little more information, and so they are now trying to structure a contract with J.D. Drew that says, you've had some past problems. If those past problems don't play out as well as you're telling us, we also don't want to be on the on the paycheck for a guaranteed part of that. If you have a new problem, certainly, and you're playing, and it's because of your playing now, we'll guarantee the money. But if he had shoulder surgery on his right shoulder that is probably still balky, the Red Sox are balking at the idea of guaranteeing the money because of that right now. And whenever you try to put legal language together with medical language, it's a very gray area, so it takes a long time, but it already has been a long time. In J.D. Drew's case, it's been over a month, and so they really have to move on.
How difficult has this been for Boston? It seems that both the Yankees and the Red Sox have not necessarily, if it's true that Drew has this issue, that they really haven't strengthened their team in the way that has seemed to be the case the last couple years.
Well, it's true. I mean, we haven't seen them make big splashes except for the Red Sox with Daisuke. They went out and got him, spent a lot of money on him. They needed to, but they also needed a bat in there as well. And so I think they don't feel the pressure, but I know they want to go out and do something. With the Yankees case, though, I think they were just trying to get younger. They got Pettit back. In taking Randy Johnson and shipping him to Arizona, they got some young prospects. That's about it. But what they really did was clear money off their payroll. Not that that ever really matters to the Yankees, but who knows? Maybe George is getting a little bit tired of paying some of that money. But if he's going to pay a guy $15 to $20 million, he probably wants more than 10 or 12 wins from him. So he's going to try to spend his money a little bit more efficiently. And I think Brian Cashman out there is trying to add as much pitching as he can, because he certainly doesn't want to rely on Carl Pavano and the new pitcher from Japan to be their fourth and fifth starters.
Which team at this point, now that we've progressed another 4 or 5 weeks down the road, Jim, do you think has strengthened themselves the most this offseason?
Well, I guess if you're talking about the Red Sox and the Yankees, I think you've got to take a look at clubs that had to do something, like the Cubs. Certainly they did some things. They kept their third baseman Ramirez. They signed Soriano to a huge contract. But I think if you take a look around, there have been a lot of clubs that have just kind of switched some of their parts. I still kind of like some of the things that the Dodgers have done, especially with the Dodger pitching. They've got in losing Maddux, but signing Schmidt, they've got some good starting pitching over there, and really have some great young pitchers coming up. And some young players as well. So I still like the Dodgers' chances out there. I like what Ned Colletti has done in trying to spend his money wisely and trying to improve their ball club. And especially in that division, it's going to be a tough row. I think the Padres as well have done some things, but the Padres are always kind of in it. So I expect those two guys to be battling for the top of that division throughout most of the summer.
And then there's, speaking of older players, the situation with Sammy Sosa, the Rangers trying to develop a minor league deal with him. What are the chances that Sammy Sosa is going to be able to show anything in the last couple years of his career?
Well, I had Sammy in Baltimore his last year. He was hurt quite a bit. He had some weird injuries, but he was hurt quite a bit. He really had slow bat speed. There are places where you could pitch him that you could tell him the pitch, a fastball, was coming. He could not get around on it. So I don't know if that bat speed is going to be able to come back. He has taken some time off. Maybe he's gotten himself into good shape, but it wasn't because of being in bad shape before that he couldn't perform. He just couldn't catch up to a good fastball, and he was swinging at a lot of bad pitches because of it, getting behind in the count and then swinging at a lot of bad breaking balls out of the strike zone. But it's probably a no-lose situation for the Rangers. He was originally signed by the Rangers as a young player out of the Dominican, and if he comes to camp, from what I understand, he's going to be a non-roster player. About the only thing that you kind of wince at there is the distraction that Sammy Sosa in camp will be to your team, and whether you want that, because they have some pretty good young players over there, and they're trying to build. They've done some good things with their starting pitching to make themselves better as well. So how Sammy fits into that, will yet to be seen. But he's a pretty good guy, and he works hard.
Well, final comment for you. You know, in the NFL, they're making a move now that if a player tests positive, like Sean Merriman, he's not going to be available in the future for voting for the Pro Bowl. Do you think that that's going to happen in Major League Baseball, or is that already in place where if a player tests positive, he cannot be part of the All-Star team?
Well, I don't know if that's as big a deal, to be
honest.
Got
about 15 seconds.
With some of their players, I think they're more concerned with what it means to baseball as a whole and what it means to the player for his team. So I don't think that's going to be a concern for MLB.
All right, Jim Beattie, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for your report. Good luck with all your stuff, and we'll check in with you hopefully in a few days.
You bet, Nick. Have a great day.
Thanks, Jim. When we come back, we'll talk with Seth Joyner, NFL stuff, and then Luke Jensen on the Australian Open. Howie Long coming up as well. Stay with us.
If you think that you have to fight the crowds and long lines this tax season, think again. The Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center will prepare you tax returns over the phone. We could tell you how easy and convenient it is, but our clients say it best. Just listen.
No appointments necessary. You get on the phone as simple as A, B, and C.
I saved a lot of money doing it over the phone and quickly.
I knew that they were going to take full advantage of all the tax laws to help me.
It was fast and convenient, and they were very professional.
Just pick up the phone and call them. You won't believe the results unless you call them. They're there for you. They're professionals. They know what they're doing. Call them now.
Call the Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center today. We'll work hard to get you the biggest refund possible. Time to prepare tax returns and refund qualifications will vary. Services not available in New York or Oregon. Call now and you'll save 10% off our tax preparation fees. Call 800-923-3265. That's 800-923-3265. 800-923-3265. Call now.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster, it's the stock market. But it doesn't have to be a rough ride. Just subscribe to Barron's, America's premier financial weekly. Subscribe now and get 13 weeks of Barron's for only $39. Each fact-filled issue brings you investing insights, market information, and special reports you won't find anywhere else. Special reports that include the best-performing companies, mutual fund managers, and the outlook for stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. That's not all. Subscribe today and you'll also get Barron's Guide to Building Wealth, plus 4 weeks of Barron's online free with your paid subscription. All the tools you need to make smarter investment decisions. That's 13 weeks of Barron's plus the Guide to Building Wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S.
Call now, 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639.
Available now from Doubleday Books. Real Baseball, baseball's golden era. The way America witnessed it in the movie newsreels. Author Les Krantz brings a celebration of the golden age of baseball through the movie house newsreels that once presented the game's great plays and players to fans across the country. Real Baseball is an enchanting look back at baseball from 1932 to 1965. This handsomely illustrated volume, with a foreword by Hall of Fame catcher Yogi Berra, traces the seminal role of newsreels in making baseball the national pastime before television brought the game into houses across America. This book also includes a one-hour DVD that features the most thrilling moments from original newsreels hosted by baseball great Joe Garagiola. Stay tuned to Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network for your chance to win a copy of Real Baseball by Les Krantz from Doubleday. Available now wherever books are sold.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
Back to the NFL playoffs. I want to thank Jim Beattie for joining us on the Major League Hot Stove. Seth Joyner, who's busy training a lot of guys for that that testing that goes on. Seth, before we talk about the playoffs, let's talk about that. Tell me about how sophisticated college players are getting in terms of getting ready for their testing and increasing and maximizing their value for the draft?
Well, I mean, I think they've realized that everyone knows what they can accomplish on the field. Position. Obviously, you want to be one of the best at your position. Thereby, you know, if a team needs has a need for, say, a linebacker, and you're the number one linebacker, then more times than not, you're going to be the first linebacker picked. So, you know, the guys have gotten smart. You know, they go in, they work on their 40 times, they work on their starts, they work on, you know, their vertical leap, you know, and all those different things. You know, just trying to give themselves the best, you know, the best chance that they can to go in and outcompete all the other players at their position.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time. We're going to be joined by Howie Long in a little bit, but let's talk about some of these matchups. You're a little bit less confident in the overall talent of that Saints defense. It's as if their outstanding offense has prevented people from seeing those weaknesses as well. Tell me what you think about the matchup of a Deuce McAllister against that Bears defensive front without a Tommy Harris, without a Mike Brown.
Well, I, you know, obviously last week, you know, the Bears kind of struggle trying to maintain any kind of force as far as the defense is concerned. And sure, you know, when you lose a guy like Tommy Harris, when you lose a guy, you know, Mike Brown is what Bob Sanders is to the Indianapolis Colts. You know, he's the guy that's going to walk down. He's going to be that eighth guy in the box and running situation. And when you're missing two of your top players, that makes life a little more difficult for everyone else. Now, granted, you're only as good as your backups, and those guys who step in have got to get the job done. But, you know, all things being equal, you'd like that those guys were high-round draft picks, those guys were starters for a reason. And you got to believe that they're going to want to control the flow of the game. And, you know, they're going to get a steady dose of Deuce McAllister between the tackles, and you're going to get a steady dose of them moving Reggie Bush around, trying to get him balls in certain situations, trying to get him his touch. I think, you know, the two-headed monster that they've got working, you know, is really a great recipe for Drew Brees to, you know, throw the ball with success.
Well, let's talk about the fact that this very successful Saints offense was playing without Joe Horn, who's probably going to be back this week. You add him to Marcus Colston and Devery Henderson, and you're matching them up against Tillman, Ricky Manor Jr., and Nathan Basher. How's that match up for you?
Well, I mean, to have Joe Horn back is huge, because once you get to your three wide receiver sets and you want to get vertical with the ball, those three guys can cause a lot of problems for you. You know, without him last week, you know, it was a little more difficult for Drew Brees to look down the field and complete passes. But I can imagine, you know, when they really want to spread it out, they really want to get Reggie Bush in open situations, you know, with those three guys, it's going to cause a lot of stress. You know, Chicago's held up all year long very well. I think if they can get pressure with the front four, I think, you know, they'll be fine in the secondary, because the secondary and our defensive line, you know, work hand in hand. You know, any defensive lineman will tell you that. You know, any defensive lineman worth his beans will tell you that. And any DB worth his beans will tell you that when the guys are getting pressure up front, it makes the secondary look good, and when the secondary is covering well in the back, it makes the guys up front look well. So, you know, if they can get good pressure with just the front four, then that bodes well for their defensive backs. And if their defensive backs, you know, can kind of get a read on what's going on and at least stay close enough, you know, to make Drew Brees either have to make the close fit or make him check, you know, go all the way to his third read in his progression. Well, then that's going to be a big plus for that defense, their front four.
With the speed of the Chicago Bears defense, how does that match up if they do what they've been doing, which is mixing it up very nicely between McAllister and Reggie Bush? How's that speed match up against Reggie Bush?
Well, I think with Reggie Bush, you have to realize where he is at all times. You got to realize that when he's in the game, he's an integral part of what they're doing. I just don't think that Reggie Bush is the type of player. When you're in spread formations or when he's lined up as a wide receiver, I don't think he's the type of guy that you ever leave one-on-one with someone or you play zone defense with him on the field. I think that you have to have two guys on him. You've got to have one guy is on him right now, you've got to have another guy that's coming. You got to double him because he's a huge difference maker. I mean, the guy's so quick, got so much movement, and he's so fast that the first guy most of the time he's going to make that guy miss. But the first guy just go ahead and takes his shot and can slow him down enough for the second guy. You get there and make the play, you stand a better chance. But I think that what they have to do, you know what you're going to get out of Deuce McAllister. They're going to move Reggie Bush all over the place. And as they move him all over the place, I think you have to have a separate package for when he's in the game. Because they move him and they put him in predictable, what I would see as predictable situations, because where they move him, they're putting him there for a specific reason. So you got to study enough film and understand how they're trying to attack you and how they're trying to use him and have your defenses set up to combat that.
Talking with Seth Joyner, former All-Pro linebacker for the famous Buddy Ryan Eagles, and you cut your teeth there, and with all the other teams you played for and the Super Bowl ring you got, I know that the attitude of that defense, its overall strength and power and aggressiveness, was, I think, what you were most proud of. But let's talk about the other side of the ball now in this matchup between the Saints and the Bears, because it doesn't strike me that the Saints linebackers have the same kind of speed across the field as the Bears do. So now, to me, your strategy is you've got, if you're the Bears, you have got to get Thomas Jones and Cedric Benson the way they were last week, establishing that run so that the pressure's not on Rex Grossman. Because of that, he was able to go deep to Bernard Berrien in the game, get his confidence going. Tell us about that matchup between the running backs of Chicago, who have been surprisingly efficient, versus the Saints.
Well, I tell you what, I'm really shocked. You know, when I look at how Chicago chose to attack that game last week, I was really shocked that they chose to take the route that they took. I guess as the offensive coordinator sits back and they're putting together the game plan, everybody's saying, well, you know, hey, Rex, you know, everybody's expecting us, you know, to hand the ball off, you know, 20 times to Cedric and 20 times to Thomas. You know, you're only going to throw the ball down the field maybe, you know, 15, 20 times. Well, they came out and Rex Grossman put the ball in there, I believe it was 38 times last week. Who would have thunk that after the way he finished up the season, that they would have turned around and put the ball in the air that many times, you know? And what it's done is created a lot of confidence as far as, you know, Rex is concerned. But I think with the pressures of this game and what all that's involved, I think they have to get a running game going. I think they kind of caught, I think they caught their opponent off balance last week because they kind of felt like, you know, they were going to come out and run the ball. But I think they have to come out and run the ball this week because the pressure is just going to be just a little bit higher. And, you know, hey, let's face it. I think, you know, it's been my observation that the Saints defense, you know, their best defense has been the fact that their offense has been so potent all season long. When you're playing, scoring a lot of points and you're playing well on the offensive side of the ball, it's very easy to play defense. I'd like to put them in a situation where they really have to prove and show just how good they are. And I think that if they can keep the game close early and run the ball early and often, I think they'll put that pressure on the Saints defense and the Saints linebackers for that matter.
Well, my vote's still with the Saints. I just think that, like the Patriots, they're a team that takes advantage of other teams' mistakes. They make less themselves. Here's Michael Strahan from Monday's show talking about the Patriots.
Thing you want to do when you're in a situation like that, keep the game close. Just keep it close to the fourth quarter. If you can tie it up in the fourth quarter, then you give your team confidence. You know you have a chance to win at that point. Just don't let it get out of hand. And the Patriots are the best in the business, and Bill Belichick makes sure that his team understands that 100%. And no matter what the score is, that team continues to go after you and go after you. But when it counted the most and they really needed that pressure, they just didn't get it on Brady. I mean, I think the offensive line picked it up. The Patriots understand how to play when the pressure's on in those type of situations because they've been in it many times before. And, you know, about Merriman and the pressure to get some hits and all those things, one thing that Belichick is great at and one thing Parcells before him and all the coaches in and under that type of system is they look at how to take out the best guy on both sides of the ball.
Exactly. There you have it. So in our last minute before we go to a break, tell us about, as you look at the Patriots in this game, and we won't talk about the quarterback matchup right now, but let's just go with the way that they game plan. Bill Belichick is completely rewriting his tactics for this game. How do you see this game?
Well, I think, you know, Michael hit it dead square. square on the head when he talked about how they neutralized Sean Marion. Yeah, they ran a lot of spread sets to the side, you know, through motion to the side where he would be A and then B. You know, you saw Tom Brady take a lot of time at the line of scrimmage to clarify and make sure that the protection was proper. What they wanted to do was make sure they put an offensive tackle on Sean Merriman in blocking situations rather than having a tight end have to block him or a running back have to block him. Well, challenges they're going to face this week is that Mathis and Springy are both defensive ends, you know. And these guys can get up the field, they can power rush, they can do a lot of different things. I think what you'll wind up seeing is that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady will probably run a lot of screens at both of these guys and obvious, you know, passing situations to try to take advantage of the fact that they like to get a lot of pressure up the field quick right now. And when you get up the field that fast, you know, you leave lane. So it'll be interesting. I think it's going to be a great chess match. Both of these teams know each other very well. They've played each other numerous times. But it'll be interesting to see how the chess match plays itself out throughout the course of the game.
Absolutely. When we come back, Seth Joyner with some more comments. Then we'll be joined by Howie Long. And then next, Luke Jensen on the Australian Open, only on Head Games on Sports Byline on Sirius Channel 122.
Do you want to own a brand new computer and improve your credit score at the same time? If you have less than perfect credit but can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, then you're already approved for a brand new Dell, HP, or other name brand computer. Guaranteed.
Bad credit? No problem. There's no credit check, so you won't be turned down. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, you're approved for your brand new name brand computer. Call 800-787-2816. Guaranteed Consumer Funding says you're approved. Give us a call today at 800-787-2816 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. Act now. We'll add over $700 in premium upgrades and an MP3 player for free. And with select models, we'll throw in a free printer. So get the computer of your dreams today and improve your credit at the same time. Call 800-787-2816. That's 800-787-2816.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you considering bankruptcy? With the new bankruptcy laws, you may not qualify. There is another option. Call Financial Freedom of America for free information and learn how you can have your credit card bills reduced by up to 60%. You never have to pay back a penny of the debt that is settled for you. Let Financial Freedom of America show you how their proven debt reduction system can save you thousands or tens of thousands. They are experts at negotiating debt settlements and can wipe out up to 60% of your credit card bills. You need to have $10,000 or more in credit card debt to qualify for this program. Don't suffer from the burden and hardship of your overwhelming debts any longer. They'll do all the work for you. Call Financial Freedom of America today at 800-768-9617. That's 800-768-9617. For your free consultation, call Financial Freedom of America now at 800-768-9617.
Do you have a debt problem? Well, now you can finally do something about those collection calls. You can only avoid your mail and the phone for so long. That's why you need to call the Debt Solutions Network. We have agents standing by right now to assist you with your debt problems. Credit card debt, collection accounts, medical bills, and repossessions. Call now for relief.
800-814-5031. That's 800-814-5031. Not available in all states.
It takes the same thing to get to the Super Bowl and win that it takes to get there and lose. You know, it's not the NBA where you got a seven-game series once you get in that in the final. You got to get it done that day.
And now, back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
Welcome back to Head Games with Seth Joyner, and we're very lucky to be joined by Howie Long. Howie, I think you blocked one of my kicks back in the day, didn't you?
I can't remember last week.
You jerk?
You want me to remember that?
No, I think you blocked one against us on a Monday night or Thursday night game, and you know, I've never fully recovered from that. You and Ted Hendricks were the only guys that blocked kicks in games.
Ted,
I just wanted to bring that up, buddy.
Well, Ted usually was the guy, because Ted was so big. People don't realize how big Ted was. Ted was one of those unique players who was, you know, and there are not many of them. I'd say Lawrence Taylor and maybe a Kellen Winslow, guys like that, who were ahead of their time. Ted was ahead of his time, and I don't know how many kicks he blocked, but it was probably as many as anyone in NFL history. And Matt Millen and I were usually just the guys that tried to run someone over and let Ted jump. So if I blocked one, it was by accident.
Yeah, whatever. Hey, listen, Howie, one of my favorite memories of Ted Hendricks is in the 82 Pro Bowl. It's a very close game, and I'm looking at Ted, and he's about 10 yards down the sidelines. I walk over to him, and he's in his own world. I said, what are you doing? He said, I got to make a play. He went in the very next play and intercepted the ball. We drove down, and I was lucky enough to kick a short field goal to win the game because I was threatened with my life if I didn't make it. But my memory of Ted is that specific moment in time when he just knew he had to do something and got it done. So, hats off to him. Go ahead.
Ted was, I remember coming in there as a rookie from Villanova, and, you know, walking into that Raider locker room was, you know, going from the dorm at Villanova to the Oakland Raider locker room was a lot like going from, you know, a monastery to a halfway house. It was different, and we had some great players at that time, and I had the good fortune of being a part of, you know, the next generation, but overlapping with the Gene Upshaws and the Art Shells and the Ted Hendricks and Cliff Branch and Van Egan and Plunkett and Casper and, you know, players like that. And Ted was the smartest player I have ever played with. He could sit in a film room on Monday morning, still kind of showing the effects of the celebration from the night before, and we'd throw on the film of the upcoming opponent, and Ted could call off the plays before they were even run. He was so knowledgeable and so smart, and for me to have had the opportunity to play with him for, you know, 4 or 5 years in the beginning of my career had a profound effect. And you talk about the pressure you run at that Pro Bowl. Remember, at that time, you know, if you were married and you had kids, or, you know, you brought a guest, that trip to Hawaii ended up costing you quite a bit, because a glass of orange juice was about $35 out of your honor bar at the hotel, and the loser of the game, I think at that point, got $5,000, and the winner got $7,000, and that was big money
right.
Back in those days, remember?
Oh, yeah, Jack Lambert said, buddy, you better make this kick or I'll kill you. He was the left wing on
and
the
he
team,
meant
and there's
it.
A photo of him, and he meant it.
Oh, yeah, Jack Lambert was exactly the way I thought Jack Lambert would be, and I was a big Pittsburgh Steeler guy in college, and he walked in that huddle with no teeth, just flicked his cigarette out of his hand and told us the way it was going to be. Different generation, Nick.
Howie, times have changed, but it's always about the players that can get it done when it matters most. And as you look at the matchups this weekend, all four games to me last week were great. And now you have the situation where certain teams find a way to get it done. We saw it, and we talk about it all the time with the Patriots. Of these four teams in this new situation, who are the teams that strike you as most able and most likely to win on Sunday?
Golly, you look at the matchup we have in Chicago, and, you know, a Bears team, particularly on defense, that started the year off the first six or seven games, and we were talking about them in historical perspective, you know, defensively. And Rex Grossman was a guy who was performing extremely well, and they seemed to be the team to beat by far. And Indianapolis started off the season as hot as could be and then started to struggle defensively. And New England was New England. You know, they weren't spectacular, but they were New England, and they were in front of their division, and they seemed to be trying to find their stride in terms of the wide receiver position. They had a number of injuries on defense, and The New Orleans Saints are a magical team. 29 new players, new quarterback. Deuce McAllister is a guy who blew his ACL out last season, rushed back and has played extremely well. Reggie Bush has been a real shot in the arm for both New Orleans, the Gulf Coast region, and the NFL. And Sean Payton has done a remarkable job, and Mickey Loomis has done a remarkable job in bringing players in there, and all new linebackers and new defensive system, new offensive system, a team that was essentially a nomad team last year, traveling from place to place and practicing in temporary facilities, being pushed out of their facilities in San Antonio. For them to have not only won their division, but they seem to be peaking at the right time. And the Indianapolis-New England matchup, to me, when Peyton Manning goes to bed at night, he doesn't check his closet for the boogeyman. He checks his closet for Tom Brady. It is if they are to go, and I think this is probably the best opportunity they have, and I think that window is closing, that window of opportunity, and you know how that is. You've been on teams that have gone through cycles where, you know, the talent cycle is coming to a conclusion, and if you're going to get it done, you're going to get it done now, and I think this is the best opportunity for them, and how poetic would it be for them to accomplish that at home, beating a team that has two times up in New England spoiled their opportunity and their chance to get to the Super Bowl. And then you have the possibility of a Lovie Smith versus Tony Dungy Super Bowl. Would be the first time in the history of the NFL you'd have two African-American coaches coaching the two Super Bowl teams. And I think you think back to the pre-Doug Williams Super Bowl and you say, you know, it was pointed out that Doug Williams is an African-American quarterback, and I think Doug Williams winning that Super Bowl in many ways made that a non-issue. And I don't think we think of quarterbacks in those terms. He's just a quarterback. And I think an African-American coach winning a Super Bowl would in many ways make that a non-issue and be another step towards that not being a topic of conversation on a yearly basis.
Seth Joyner, that's a very interesting subject, and we've talked about it before. Clearly, several of the very top head coaches in the NFL now are black coaches. Do you think that a Super Bowl victory is required, as Howie said, to get to that next level of respect?
Not respect. Just not a topic of conversation where it's not, you know, when I look at a quarterback, I look at a quarterback. I don't care if he's African-American, white, or whatever. I think we're beyond that. I think we're close to that with head coaches. That was my point.
I just think to legitimize the fact that, you know, that African Americans can assume that role and be successful in that role, that victory is needed. Until Doug Williams won the Super Bowl and legitimized that thought, I don't think, you know. There were some black quarterbacks, but I don't think anybody really deep down inside, you know, the powers that be in football really believe that a black quarterback could take a team to the Super Bowl and actually win a Super Bowl. Well, I think that is probably the same situation as far as head coach is concerned. And anytime you get in a situation where one of these, you know, African-American coaches has an opportunity to win, the only thing it does is legitimizes the fact, you know, and legitimizes the idea that, you know what, they can get the job done. They're just as qualified as anyone else to hold that position and take that team to the pinnacle of the NFL season, so to speak.
Yeah, you know, I think it's really, you know, and Seth makes the point. You know, Doug Williams championing that team of the Washington Redskins, it kind of no longer became an issue and whatever anyone's perception was or opinion was, it just didn't factor in anymore. And you know, I think now when we talk about quarterbacks in the NFL, we talk about how they play, what their production is. We don't talk about them, at least I don't view that as being a topic of discussion. I've certainly never looked at Tony Dungy and said he needs to be validated by winning a Super Bowl. I think what it does is it's it's historical, and I think it allows, I think, an entire NFL community to turn the page, and for the better. It'll be great.
Well, let's talk some specifics here. The Indy defense, I think, is every bit as important, if not more, than the state of mind of Peyton Manning and the pressure that he feels in this game. Bob Sanders, everybody's talking about what a difference he makes to the mentality of that defense, specifically against the run. Howie, what do you think is the biggest change in the last couple games, besides Bob Sanders?
Well, you know, I don't know if Seth will agree with me, but I think Bob Sanders coming back is important. I think there are a number of players in the NFL, a Ray Lewis, a Brian Dawkins, players like that, who will the people around them to elevate their level of play and their commitment. And I don't want to downplay his contributions or him coming back, but I think Seth will agree with me. I think the biggest problem the Indianapolis Colts had was, one, they were rushing the quarterback on every single play, and two, they didn't have the mindset of being interested in stopping the run. You know, if we happen to fall into the run on the way to the quarterback, you know, fine. But to me, if you're going to win a championship or if you're going to be contending for a championship, you need to be able to do two things. Stop the run and run the football, particularly at the end of the ball game. And I think that was something they did last week in Baltimore to a great extent. And I don't want to put too much into beating Kansas City at home, a one-dimensional Kansas City, albeit with a Larry Johnson who I consider to be just a horse. I mean, he is a great, great player. And then beating a Baltimore team on the road and dominating them to a great extent in terms of their run game and their offense, but it's an average Baltimore offense. I think this week will be more of a test for them because they face a team that has balance with Maroney and Dillon and Tom Brady, and they're gifted at the tight end position, and they have wide receivers that are growing into the position but certainly capable. So I think this week will be more of a kind of an indication of where the Colts are on defense.
We've got a quick call from Giovanni of St. Louis. You just got a few seconds here in this segment. Giovanni, what's your question?
Nick, how you doing?
Doing fine.
Hey, of course, I'm a longtime Chiefs fan, and I think, what's his face, Carl Peterson's done. I mean, I'd get rid of him. That five-year plan has been turned into a 20-year plan or whatever it was now, and I'm also predicting the Patriots over the Colts.
And, all right, buddy. Well, thanks. We got to go to a break here, but we'll talk in a brief moment when we come back with Howie Long. Final thoughts about Carl Peterson, about the top general managers and their role in the NFL, with Howie Long and Seth Joyner on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122. Stay with us.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster, it's the stock market. But it doesn't have to be a rough ride. Just subscribe to Barron's, America's premier financial weekly. Subscribe now and get 13 weeks of Barron's for only $39. Each fact-filled issue brings you investing insights, market information, and special reports you won't find anywhere else. Special reports that include the best-performing companies, mutual fund managers, and the outlook for stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. That's not all. Subscribe today and you'll also get Barron's Guide to Building Wealth, plus 4 weeks of Barron's online free with your paid subscription. All the tools you need to make smarter investment decisions. That's 13 weeks of Barron's plus the Guide to Building Wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S.
Call now, 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639.
Golf Digest is going to cure your slice now, and that's a guarantee. Introducing the breakthrough video, Cure Your Slice Now, and it's free with your paid subscription to Golf Digest magazine. In this video, top PGA instructor Chuck Cook shows you the 7 key phases of the swing and gives you his proven method for better control and longer, straighter drives. And here's our guarantee. If Golf Digest and Cure Your Slice Now doesn't cure your slice and improve your game, cancel the subscription and keep the video free. Every month in Golf Digest, you get easy-to-follow instruction from the best teachers and players in golf, information on the top equipment, the best places to play, and you also get the removable Pocket Tips booklet. Call now. Use your credit card and get your first risk-free issue, the Pocket Tips booklet, and the video free. You get 11 more issues for only $19.77. If your game doesn't improve, cancel your subscription and keep the video, booklet, and magazine free.
Call 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639 for Golf Digest.
Is credit card debt making your life miserable?
Are you tired of harassing phone calls and struggling to make ends meet?
You may qualify for a little-known program through Debt Consultants of America.
This program allows you to pay back only a small portion of the credit card debt you owe.
In fact, up to 60% of your credit card debt could completely be wiped clean.
It's a proven program.
The best part is Debt Consultants of America does all the work for you.
Plus, you don't have to pay back a penny of the debt that they settle for you.
So grab all your credit card statements and call for a free, no-obligation consultation.
Their friendly counselors will give you all the details.
Call 800-761-3480. That's 800-761-3480.
You need to have at least $10,000 in credit card debt to qualify for this program.
For your free, no-obligation consultation, please call us. 800-761-3480. Call now. 800-761-3480.
Tomorrow on Head Games, Luke Jensen on the Australian Open, Jarrett Bell from USA Today, Howie Long. Marlon McCree said after that game between the Patriots and the Chargers that I was trying to make a play. Well, all he had to do, he didn't have to make a play, he just had to knock the ball down. Is that symptomatic of Marty Schottenheimer and teams unlike the Patriots that just make mental mistakes at the wrong time?
Seth? You want to take that one?
I don't think so. I think that, you know, as a player, you're trying to make a play. And they look to him as the captain of that secondary to make the play. And, you know, it's instinctual. You know, it's just in you, you know, to try to make a play under those circumstances. He just made a bad decision. I mean, what he did was nothing more than a quarterback dropping back, not seeing anything there. Instead of throwing it away, moving on to third down, he decides to try to fit something in and throws an interception, you know, at the wrong time in the football game. That's all it is. Just made a bad decision.
Yeah.
And I don't think it has anything to do with Marty per se. I mean, Marty's prepared them. I mean, he's prepared that football team to go out and play well and win. You know, he can't put the pads on and go out and make the plays for them. You know, I mean, some of the blame he has to shoulder because the coordinators made some bad decisions. But, you know, for the most part, the players play and the coach is coach.
Yeah, you know,
Seth, thanks for joining us today. Howie, just rapid fire here. What do you think of the situation with Marty? The actual thought that they would consider firing one of the best coaches in the NFL and Marty Schottenheimer.
You know, I know the relationship there with him and the general manager is strained at best, but I think it's hard to let go of a 14-2. I think what you saw was you saw a New England Patriots team, and I think a microcosm of who the Patriots are is the Troy Brown play, you know. And I think there's a San Diego team that just got there for the first time, and it's a learning experience. Take care.
Thank you, Seth. Again, as always, we appreciate it, buddy. You're the best.
All right, Ed.
Tomorrow, Jarrett Bell from USA Today, Luke Jensen on the Australian Open, and more. I want to thank Howie Long, Jim Beattie, Seth Joyner. Thanks for listening to Head Games Radio. My picks are Indianapolis is going to get over it this weekend because of the one thing that people haven't talked about, the fact that they had their season stolen from them last year with the suicide of Tony Dungy's son and what that did to distract them. They're on a mission this year. Watch for Indianapolis surprising everybody. Thanks for listening to Head Games Radio. Go to Head Games Radio for all the highlights. HeadGamesRadio.com.